The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah, don't it sound so epic? Horns are screaming, I ain't the one you wanna mess with. Use a joke, I ain't the one you wanna jest with. The battle's coming, you only got a few seconds to run.
Hey everybody, this is Matt from Cincy Jungle flying solo on the Chalk Talk today, because rather than talk about the Browns, there are some things that we need to talk about with this Bengals team and what is going on in the locker room. So I'm not in the locker room, so all we really can do is speculate. And that's all anybody's doing right now with the limited amount the media is able to access this year. But Bengals players are upset. All right, and we've seen some Bengals players come out and express that. Now, this is a young, inexperienced coaching staff in many ways, but they're dealing with some similar types of issues in Dallas, and that is not a young, inexperienced coaching staff. All right, that's a coach that went to the Super Bowl at the head position, and there are some talented guys on that staff all around, and you know they're facing some similar issues with mostly veterans, you know, revolting to some extent and coming out and expressing their displeasure, if that's a word. Now, we'll look at the Bengals specifically, obviously, and I'm just pointing it out because, look, it's going on elsewhere, and it's not that these guys are young and don't know what they're doing, because it's happening in Dallas, and that's a different type of situation there. Let's talk specifically, you know, about social media. You know, Darius Phillips, his post last week, Sean Williams, you know, about not wasting talent, and specifically, you know, their own talent. So look, those guys aren't happy with their playing time. That's okay. I mean, you know, people aren't happy with their playing time sometimes. And look, Sean Williams is a guy I've defended. I think that they should be using more of personally, but a lot of Bengals fans don't particularly like him. There's a lot of you listening right now that wanted him to get cut. And, I mean, like, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, look, Taylor's lost the locker room because this guy's, you know, he's not happy. And also say, well, I don't want him to be on the team anyway. So, I mean, essentially you're agreeing that he shouldn't be playing that much. So that doesn't really mesh very well. But look, this is just social media culture right now. I mean, this is something we have to accept. I did not grow up in this culture personally, but I've, you know, spent enough time, you know, in coaching and being around people. And you just got to understand, like, this is going to happen. And I think Taylor and his staff has done a good job of, you know, understanding that and saying, you know, not getting worked up because players are dealing with things in that way, and not the way that I'm sure the coaching staff would prefer. I would prefer as a coach myself, but you kind of got to deal with it because that's what it is, all right? And how many of you have, just like me, you know, complained about something, all right, through the necessary channels and complaining with customer service? You don't hear anything, but when you tweet it, all of a sudden you get a response. So that's what that's the culture, and that's what we've been taught. That's what's being reinforced right now. So for better or worse, that's what it is, and you can't really look too negatively at it because it is what it is. You don't have any control over that. So has Taylor lost the locker room? No. All right. Absolutely not. I think that's a huge jump that some people are making. We've seen news reports out of Cincinnati that say the same, that no, he hasn't. It's a select few that are displeased. I think it's pretty clear when you watch Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor in press conferences, they're speaking the same language. All right. Those two are on the same page, and Joe Burrow is all in. All right. It's one or two things. Either he is completely all in and he buys into Zach Taylor, or he is incredibly well coached by their communication staff, which like that's reaching, right, to say that's the case. If they're putting that much effort into it, I think that things are going pretty well probably. So those guys are on the same page. So as much as some of you may not like Taylor, the big guy does, all right? Joe likes him. Joe believes in him. That faith is there. So Taylor also, in speaking of his press conferences, he's not pointing fingers, right? He's people talk about coach speak, but look, all these things are true. Like, well, we need to work harder. We need to improve in this area. There was one or two players that could have won that game. It was absolutely true, all right? And somebody followed up on that, by the way, with, oh, well, what were the couple of plays? Like, no, they're everywhere, all right? And in any of those games, I can, easily find a dozen plays that could have changed the course of those games. There are some obvious ones, all right? He connects with John Ross in the Chargers game on that touchdown. Maybe they win that game, all right? Obviously. So that's just one example. But look, when they're talking to Taylor, like after this week, he said the offense needed to score in the second half. The offense needed to do more in the second half to win that game. And some people were saying, well, geez, it was the defense. The defense was terrible. But look, Taylor coaches the offense. So when he's asked those questions, he's going to put it on the offense. He's going to talk about the offense because that's his position group. That's putting it on himself more than anything. He's not going to be like, oh, defense stinks, right? He's ultimately responsible for everything, but that's putting on a different group of guys. Same thing with Jim Turner, by the way. All right. People have complained about Jim Turner defending his guys. I've seen people say that. Look, that's a good thing, right? His guys are his guys. All right. And I don't think they're going to go out and sign Spain. Hopefully they do, but I don't think they're going to do that. But look, these guys aren't going anywhere. Bobby Hart's the right tackle. Until somebody steps up, and right now it's not Fred Johnson, and I don't think right now it's Hakeem Adeniji either. All right, maybe it is in a year, but I don't think it's those guys right now. So they've got what they've got at this point. He needs to defend his guys, all right, because those are his guys. That is when you lose a locker room, when you start pointing fingers. When, if Jim Turner got up there and said, well, this guy can't play at right guard, this guy can't play at left guard, this guy's terrible at right tackle. Well, yeah, then they're going to get worse. They're not going to play for him at that point, right? If you want to lose the defense as an offensive coach, right, go ahead and go into press conference and say, yeah, we blew that lead in that second quarter, right? He's not going to say that. That's how you lose the locker room. So, no, Taylor has not lost the locker room. Now, let's talk about what's going on here. Look, it's a lot of veterans, right? And people point to that and they say, well, the veterans know what's going on. But look, these veterans are Marvin Lewis guys, all right? They're Marvin Lewis carryovers. Marvin Lewis did some really good things in Cincinnati. He took a very bad football team and made it into a good football team. He never made it into a great football team. He never won a playoff game, all right? I have a ton of respect for him for everything he was able to do in Cincinnati, but he was never able to do that. So that's what this is about, all right? It's not about, hey, the Bengals sucked last year. Let's make them competitive in the to get to the playoffs again. It's about, let's make them a Super Bowl contender. We got the quarterback. Let's put some things together. And we talk about changing the culture. Again, not coach speak. It's a real thing, right? It is definitely a real thing. So, look, since the guys that are voicing their displeasure, which largely ties in with their own playing time, all right, since these guys are carryovers from the previous staff, maybe that's an indication that they're wrong, all right? That they're just having trouble adjusting, having trouble changing, having trouble getting on board with this new coaching staff that is trying to change things, that is trying to turn things around. right? I don't know if they're the guys that are going to do it or not, right? This new coaching staff. But for them to have an opportunity to, everybody needs to be on board, all right? And look, yes, Taylor has not, Taylor's won three games so far, okay? But that's not completely on the coaching staff, all right? Like, they need to get that buy-in, all right? They need to figure that stuff out. And it's nothing personal, all right? I think we tend to, in life, we look at dispositional causes rather than situational causes, all right? So somebody does something bad, they're a bad person, all right? That's disposition. But the majority of people aren't bad people, all right? The majority of time when somebody does something bad, it's the situation, all right? They're uncomfortable, they're not in a good spot, they were pushed the wrong way, whatever it is, situational causes. So think about a job that you've had where a new boss comes in and things change, and maybe a coworker who has been a really good worker and a good friend of yours for years, all of a sudden they're a problem. All right. They're not on board. They don't want to change. Change is difficult. Change is painful. Right. And sometimes people aren't on board with these things, and they just can't turn around. I mean, sometimes it just takes a minute, like it takes a little bit of time. You gotta go through it and it's rough. And sometimes they just gotta go. All right. And they'll tend to bring people in. If you've been in that situation with your friend, right, then you face that dilemma. Should I join? All right. And be displeased, or should I get on board and try and make this thing, what the new boss wants it to be and do my job. And really, at the end of the day, they're not bad people. They're not really bad teammates. And it shouldn't tarnish their legacy. If they're not feeling what's going on, maybe it's just not right for them. Maybe it's just not a good fit. Again, we've all had that sort of situation with jobs too, where it's like, all right, this can work, but not for me, So I'm not talking about anybody specifically, but, maybe some of these guys, they either need to fight through it and figure it out and get on board. And I think that's what Taylor's trying to do with guys. I think that's why they have not traded some of these veterans. As we talked about last year, I think Taylor wants everybody in. But it might not work that way. All right. Here's the thing. Sometimes these guys that fight you, and I've been through this situation before where brand new coaching staff coming in. I was a part of a brand new coaching staff coming in. And, some guys will buy in right away, or they'll try to. But the guys that you really have to fight, like, they end up being your strongest supporters if they make it, right? Sometimes they don't make it. Sometimes they got to go. But it's one of two things. They become a problem and have to go, or they become your staunchest supporters, all right? Because they tried to fight it, and it took so much to get them over that once you win them over, they are really all in. They're those players that you need to succeed. I've also seen it the other way. When you're deep into the season, having some kind of ups and downs, having an up and down year, and player who was starting had done some really good things for us. One day we were just out of practice, and something was wrong. And another coach actually kind of, the head guy actually kind of spotted him. Was like, hey man, why don't you take a break? Why don't you go in for a little bit? We'll talk after practice. I can tell something's not right. And this guy just became a problem, like right there, right then and there. We were trying to stop it, trying to hold it off, and then basically the guy refused to step aside, and essentially got cut right there in the practice field. When that guy left, a huge weight was lifted off the entire position group. And because I had been blinded by the success this guy had in the past, and by the fact that he had been good for us in the past, whatever the change was, it had been bringing these guys down for weeks, and I didn't even know it. And that's on me for not realizing that. But the point I'm trying to make here is sometimes a guy going, you know, can be a good thing. And it's nothing against them. You know, they can find success somewhere else. But sometimes people got to go. And that's what it comes down to, especially when you're changing, especially when you're new, especially when you're trying to do some different things, take things to a new place. Sometimes a guy's got to go. So we'll see what happens with that. But look, believe me, this is not about a grudge, right? These coaches want to win. These coaches realize that their jobs are on the line every day, right? And that's one thing that every coach in America knows, right? Your job is on the line every day. You are always coaching for your job. And so things aren't about grudges. Now, look, if somebody's becoming a problem and they're being like disciplined, like, hey, you're not going to play as much because, you know, like until you get on board with this, that's not a grudge. That's coaching. That's leadership. That's something that's going to happen. All right. And usually the my coach hates me thing is you're just lying to yourself, you know?
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
So let's talk specifically about some of these things. And look, we don't know what's going on with all these situations. But, you know, Phillips voiced some displeasure. He's basically splitting time with LeSean Sims. Look, watch the film. Sims hasn't been playing that well. I know he's banged up, so maybe that's what it is. But they don't have a cornerback number two right now. They're trying to create one from a combination of Phillips and Sims because neither one of them can really be the guy they need right now. All right, they're missing that without Trey Waynes. All right, that's a fact. You can watch the film. All right, I like Phillips. I know we all like Phillips. He's just a step behind where he needs to be. Way too much. All right, just a lot right now. Watch the last Browns game. I mean, that's a great example of that. Carlos, okay, unhappy with his usage. Look, Lawson's been playing really well. Carlos kind of needed to be a situational guy. All right. Fully agreed with that move of kind of flipping those guys. And honestly, I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. I was, however, very confused when Hubbard went out, and that didn't mean more for Dunlap. So that I don't get. But look, the initial, you know, quote-unquote demotion, I get it. We'll talk more about Carlos and his response in a minute here. Gino's hurt. All right, and that's what I've thought all along, and I've said it, and people have fought me on it, but then this week on the Bengals Booth podcast, Lapp said the same thing. He's like, look, he probably needs surgery, and he's just trying to fight through. The medical staff is probably telling the Bengals that he can't go that much. So I think that's medical. Why? It makes no flipping sense. They're not playing him more than they are, and they're getting all these other guys in here. It's got to be a medical thing. And I don't have insider information on that, but I feel like if Dave Lapham's saying that, then you can take it to the bank. So you didn't hear from me, you heard it from Lapp. I mean, you know, go and listen to that podcast. Like, something's still messed up with the guy's shoulder. And that's got to be what that's all about, because it's the only thing that makes sense. Okay, so look, let's point some fingers at the coaching staff now. Communication has definitely been a problem. So we talked about the Carlos Dunlap benching. He read it on a whiteboard minutes before he went into a Zoom meeting. That's not cool. All right. There was also Elise Jesse, who friend of the podcast. You should give her a follow on Twitter. Great Bengals insider, covered the Bengals for 7 years, at least 7 years. Anywho, Elise recently tweeted she's had people, players, you know, telling her that Al Golden is making the defensive calls on third down, and nobody understands why. So, look, if that's what they're doing, that's what they're doing. There's a lot of different ways to do things, and I am all in for trying different things. The issue here is that the defense doesn't understand it. So that, again, speaks to communication. All right, that they're not saying, hey, we're doing this with Al this year. You know, he's got this experience. This is going to, you know, allow us to divide and conquer a little bit better. You know, like something. Like the fact that they don't have any idea why they're doing it, that's my issue with it, right? Not it in and of itself, but the lack of communication. So I definitely think that's something that's a little bit funky with this team. Overall, though, look with these guys that are frustrated, it's about them and it's about how they respond. So AJ Green, you know, all the amateur lip readers were out there saying just trade me in the sidelines or whatever. Who knows? Guess what? He put things together. And he had a really good game last week. Very productive in that Colts game. So he was able to flip that switch. This is what Los needs to do, and this is what that Instagram chip eating session needs to do. There's a lot more going on there, actually. Charlie, there's some you know, good reports from the Inquirer. Those guys got what is going on with it. You know, specifically Charlie at the Inquirer understood what was going on. So there's some things that he was getting at there. But look, basically, he admitted he didn't do a very good job of communication. Obviously, they didn't do it either. But at the end of the day, you got to handle your business. So hopefully this refocuses him and allows him to take a turn and turn a corner just like AJ did. They're going to need some pass rush, all right? And whether he's playing 50 reps or 30 reps in this game, you know, or less, what can he do when he is out there? Can he put Baker Mayfield on the ground? Can he really step up and be what this team needs him to be on the field, right? So he's got to have that AJ reaction and turn that corner. All right. Again, a lot of these other guys, it's playing time. We talked about the Sean Williams thing. We talked about the Darius Phillips thing. All right. Guys, you know, look, if you're not happy with your role, you got to work. Right. You know, you got to work at it. Right. You got to work harder. You got to redouble your efforts. You got to focus. Again, these guys aren't holding grudges. It's not about that, because they're not going to have their jobs very long if it is. All right. It's not about that. All right. If you don't like what your role is, this is for everything in life. If you don't like where you're at, work harder, work smarter, figure it out. And that's what these guys had to do. And at a certain point, self-awareness comes in as well. You know, maybe this guy shouldn't be starting at this point in his life, at this point in his career. Maybe this guy, you know, you got to figure out what's the best for you. How can you be successful now? All right, obviously you're pushing for what you really want, but then you've got to also understand yourself, your limitations. You know, like I talk about, you know, working harder and doing all this stuff, but hey, at the end of the day, nobody listening to this podcast probably is playing in the NFL anytime soon. You know what I mean? As much as you may want it, as hard as you might work at it, it's not going to happen for most of us. So there is a dose of self-awareness that has to come with this stuff as well. All right, so let's sum up however long I've been talking in about 30 seconds here. I don't think Taylor's lost his locker room. I think Joe Burrow's on board with him. I don't think Zach Taylor's going anywhere anytime soon. So we gotta rally behind that and realize that's what it is right now. All right. And hopefully they're right, you know, and hopefully it's just about figuring out a few things, moving a couple pieces. All right. They obviously need to make a few additions in the offseason. They are lacking in a few areas that we won't get into at this time. But also, you know, just getting that full buy-in from everybody is huge to taking that next step. All right. And I'll tell you what. that kind of collapse against against Indy in the second quarter. Bouncing back from that, coming in with a win this week, getting a little bit of confidence, beating the cross-state rival, that could be huge, right? That could be a potential turning point. They're going to have another tough one coming up a week later. But then you get the bye week, and you can really, really focus, and they've got a lot of winnable games after the bye week. All right, they've got some divisional games too, but they've got a lot of, you know, really winnable games after the bye week. So that's where I'm at with it. All right, I don't think they've lost anything, personally. I don't think they've lost anything. They need to keep fighting, and they need to figure out some of these things, and figure out, look, is, you know, how can we get these guys involved? What's the best fit for this person? And if they're in, they're in, and if they're not, they're not. And if they're not, then, you know, thank you, next, you know. And it stinks, because we're, you know, a couple of the guys we're talking about are longtime Bengals favorites, but sometimes it's just not right anymore, and everybody's got to move on. It's just better for everybody involved. So this is Bengals Chalk Talk. a little bit gloomy at the end there, but look, like, these are real things, and I relate it because I've seen it and I've experienced it. I've been the bad guy in these situations, no doubt. Right. and I've been on the right and the wrong side of that stuff. I've seen it lots of times, you know, as a player, as a coach. So relaying that, but I think it's relatable to a lot of people. And I think if you think about your own life and your own jobs, like, you can see some of those things that have happened. So this is Bengals Chalk Talk. Thank you for joining me today. Check out the Narragansett pregame show coming up on Sunday. It'll be at 11 o'clock. We've got a special guest, fan of the week, this week. So make sure you're joining us for that as we count down to the Browns matchup and get you ready to go. Hoo day. Yeah, we coming for what's ours. You hear the crowd, we coming for what's ours.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.